Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. This world loves extremes, swinging from one extreme to the other. A very obvious example of this came during the COVID panic of 2020. There is a biblical principle in the Bible called, or a biblical principle called quarantine, where if you are sick, if you have symptoms of illness that could be contagious, you separate yourself from other people so you don't get them sick too. This is a principle of godly love, but again, it's only if you have symptoms that you should quarantine. We have gone from, in the world, no quarantine at all, blatantly being around other people with a cough or a fever or a flu, to the point where if you even cleared your throat in public during COVID, people were panicking. People were being forcefully quarantined without having any symptoms while being perfectly healthy. They were told to stay home. They were told to keep 6 feet apart. They were told to put on a mask or to get vaccinated. It went from one extreme to the other, completely disregarding the biblical principle of quarantine before, getting people sick, not really caring that much about quarantine at all, to then absolute, totally strict, extreme quarantine, even for people who aren't sick at all. This idea of being asymptomatic, being able to be sick without knowing you're sick, therefore you just cannot have any human interaction at all. We went from one extreme to the other in the world. There are plenty examples of this, different fads in diet and exercise, people going from one extreme to the other, trying to figure out what is right instead of going for a balanced approach. Another example might be the idea of either being totally materialistic, obsessed with just pleasing the five senses, sensual gratification all the time, making life all about wealth and things, or the other extreme of asceticism, where you just deny yourself any physical pleasures at all, and you live as a monk, as if physical pleasures are totally wrong. One extreme to the other. Now, perhaps no example is more shocking when it comes to this world going to extremes than the subject of sex. This is an issue where we have gone wildly to one extreme, then suddenly to a totally opposite extreme, swinging the pendulum from one side all the way to the other. Now, back before World War I, especially, we were in a time called the old morality, where basically for about 6,000 years, mankind thought of sex as shameful. It was actually illegal in this country to produce any sort of sexual instructional material, if you were not a doctor, at least. And so people really just never discussed the subject of sex. They had no idea the right uses of sex or the proper purpose of it. And so basically this ignorance led to a lot of unhappy marriages. It led to really just a lot of misery that was totally unnecessary. We don't have to wonder where this idea that sex is shameful came from. The Bible actually reveals to us right at the beginning where it all came from. Notice here in Genesis chapter 3, this is really the turning point for mankind. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the eternal God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This was basically a titanic confrontation between Eve, the first woman, and the devil. Now, Satan did not appear confrontational. He tried to be subtle and agreeable. He just wanted to plant the seed of doubt in her mind. This is the first recorded lie in here in Genesis 3, verse 4, that the woman would not surely die. Meanwhile, God says everyone is appointed to die at least one time. That's Hebrews 9, verse 27. It's God's word versus Satan's word. Humans are appointed once to die. Even those of us who live all the way up to the resurrection, the return of Jesus Christ, where humans in God's church who are converted with the Holy Spirit will transform into God beings at that time. Even those people will die instantaneously, just for a split second, when the human body goes away. The human body still dies in that transformation from human to spirit being. Every human dies, even there in that case, at least for a split second. Satan was clearly lying to Eve here in the Garden of Eden, trying to convince her to pick the wrong tree, not the tree of life, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death. And as it says here in Genesis 3, verse 5, if Eve would take of this tree, she would be as God, knowing good and evil. That doesn't mean Eve would really know the difference between good and evil, but it would be like she could decide for herself what was good and what was evil. Whatever she said, whatever she willed, would be good or evil. God is the one who invented all things good. God is the one who tells us what is evil. But in this case, Satan was telling Eve, no, you don't have to listen to what God has taught you. You can make those decisions for yourself. Now, what a destructive message this was. You can see here in verse 6, Eve conducting the first science experiment. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. In other words, she is observing the tree. She's using observation. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She experimented. She observed that the fruit looked just fine, very tasty. Then she experimented by tasting it for herself. Never mind what God had warned her about, that she would be choosing the wrong way of life that leads to death. She still chose to do it her own way. She rejected revelation, used observation, used experimentation, And finally, she relied upon her own human reasoning to draw the conclusion that she had been right. She made the right decision to choose the tree of death. That was the first science experiment. And at this moment, the entire course of human civilization was set. All humanity for 6,000 years has gone that same way, choosing the tree of death, deciding for themselves what is good and what is evil. And this has brought doom upon us. Human beings have failed in every form of government we've ever tried. Every educational system has eventually led to the very collapse of our societies. All forms of industry and economy and technology. There may have been some developments and some progress in certain areas, and yet human problems have only increased and worsened to the point that we are in danger of nuclear annihilation. Something is tragically missing from worldly education, the kind of education that Satan offered to Adam and Eve. Again, they had to reject God's revelation to choose the tree of death. They couldn't believe what God had told them, had revealed to them. They had to try the tree of death for themselves. By rejecting revelation, Adam and Eve basically were rejecting all spiritual knowledge. They relied totally on the five senses. They are now, all humanity is now confined to physical knowledge only. And that is why there is a missing dimension in knowledge. There is a missing dimension in sex knowledge as well. We have just a really, truly life-changing book available to you for free at thetrumpet.com, and it is titled The Missing Dimension in Sex, written by the late educator Herbert W. Armstrong. And this book really does expose Satan behind the sex is shameful mentality of the old morality. Now, again, this old morality did not solve any problems. The old morality just made people completely ignorant of sex. There's this dangerous idea of duality propagated by sex perverts like Plato and Socrates, where basically anything physical is sinful. A human being is made up of an immortal soul trapped in an evil, rotten physical body. So basically, the human is good. That's how the belief goes, at least. The human, the immortal soul, that's the real human, apparently. Well, that's a good thing. The immortal soul is good, but then this cage, this prison of the physical body and all of the pleasures of the physical body are automatically evil. That is this principle of dualism when it comes to human beings. Now, that would mean that sex is automatically evil because it is physical, at least part of it is physical. There is, again, a missing spiritual dimension to sex that people don't understand. But the act itself is physical. Therefore, according to dualism, it is automatically evil or shameful. It is pulling down the perfect, good, immortal soul of each human. What a dangerous, evil teaching that Mr. Armstrong exposed in this book, The Missing Dimension in Sex. Physical equals bad. Spiritual equals good. Mr. Armstrong writes on page 3 about this wrong teaching about sex. Sex was regarded as low and degrading, an act in which man descended to the level of the beast. Well, you can almost already see where the other extreme is headed. If sex is seen as low and degrading, putting us on the level of the beast, well, maybe we're all just animals. Maybe there is no immortal soul. Maybe we're all just animals living for this physical life only, and therefore should seek every possible pleasure. You can see how Satan was setting up this swing to the other extreme. Mr. Armstrong writes, by the beginning of the 6th century, this dualistic concept towards sex was firmly rooted in Western Christianity. It is still the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. Protestants in general have passively followed Catholic teaching on sex, but have tended to be more lax in behavior. Well, the old morality clearly wasn't working. Happy marriages were not produced. Sex was seen as only a way to reproduce. Notice here, going back to the beginning of human beings and that wrong choice that set the course for all civilization, Genesis 3, verse 7. Notice what happened right after Adam and Eve chose the wrong fruit, chose the wrong tree. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Satan stole the innocence of Adam and Eve. Satan made them ashamed of their nakedness, even though there were no other human beings around. They were ashamed of their nakedness, even around each other. Man and wife. There should not be any shame in nakedness between man and wife. Now, of course, Mr. Armstrong brings out that it wouldn't be very long before other humans existed, and God certainly does not support nudist colonies or just in general being exposed in public. Private parts are for when we are in private. And you could even see that principle here in Genesis chapter 3 as well. Notice here, verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the eternal God make coats of skin and clothe them. So this time, it's not Adam and Eve hastily stringing together aprons to hide their nakedness. This is actually God covering them. But not in a shameful way. If you study the root words that these verses came from, you see that God is just trying to preserve the dignity of a marriage. When other people are around, there should be no exposure at all. It's not something to flaunt as the world does. God does want the private parts to be covered outside of when a man and wife are alone. Mr. Armstrong writes about this swing from the old morality of World War I to the new morality that really started picking up speed after World War II. So things have been shifting for many decades, but after World War II, a lot of things really started picking up speed. Page 5, Mr. Armstrong writes, World War II shot morals into the gutter, and now they have plunged all the way into the cesspool. Permissiveness is the current fad. Mr. Armstrong writes about co-ed dorms. Now, that has caused a lot of problems, even at places as prestigious as Harvard. A lot of students are suffering heartbreak. They're needing mental health counseling this lawless atmosphere, environment, where sex is just viewed as a recreational activity. There are no standards. There are no morals. This new morality where sex is just treated as a hobby. Mr. Fleury, Mr. Gerald Fleury, the pastor general of the Philadelphia Church of God, has called it people seeking out sex like alley cats, just lurking around for it, on the prowl for it. Alley cats, that's always stuck with me. That's quite the colorful description. But isn't that exactly what's going on? Today, pornography is the engine of the internet. God says, no, keep your private parts private between a husband and wife. And the world says, no, actually, we're going to broadcast it all over the world on every possible screen. And we're going to make everyone addicted to it. One extreme to the other. The old morality to the new morality. God himself taught Adam and Eve the purposes of sex. He taught Adam and Eve the right uses, the inspiring spiritual vision of sex. This is a bond that is supposed to make the marital union stronger. And God does not allow any form of sex outside of marriage. He even made it one of the Ten Commandments about that, the seventh commandment, forbidding adultery, which also forbids fornication, sexual activity with anyone other than your lifelong spouse. Jesus Christ expounded on that principle in Matthew 5, saying, even lusting after a woman, even looking at her with wrong thoughts and wrong intentions, is the same thing as breaking the seventh commandment. So we are to stay away from pornography, fornication, adultery. And yet that's probably the most addictive vice in the entire world. And it has ensnared millions and billions of people. We need a vision. We need the missing dimension in sex to be able to handle this subject the right way. This is really, truly a powerful, life-changing book, The Missing Dimension in Sex. You can know where the perverted mindset towards sex came from, and you can learn God's inspiring, fulfilling, purposeful, beautiful alternative. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.